Please turn with me this morning to our message, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have been dealing with a series on the church. We moved into a mini-series on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And here I want to finish on the gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning, but we're going to continue on the church, how the church functions. Don't think that the only thing that's important are the gifts of the Spirit in the church. It's not. There are many other things. All of these teachings are just to become a part of our Christian life. Read them from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorance isn't blessed. Oh, I don't know. That is not blessed. You are not blessed if you're stupid this morning or you're ignorant. Not talking about intellect, but saying you must learn, you must understand what God actually says in His Word. I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these gifts, all of these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, worketh that one and that self-same Spirit, dividing, separating, distributing to every man severally as he will. Amen. Plenty of room up here. Come on in, there's plenty of room. Amen. Let's pray together as we come to this message on the gifts. Father, I thank you for the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, they're absolutely in His hand to dispense, to disperse, to grant unto us in this room. Lord God, I thank you for such a Holy Spirit who's faithful to the written word of God, who comes here to glorify the person of Christ, who knows every heart, every thought of the mind. Lord God, who knows the secret things, a Holy Spirit who has power to heal, power to reveal, power to change. And Lord God, we're asking in these days, let these nine gifts of your Spirit shine forth in the midst in the name of Jesus, that Christ would receive the glory, that the Lamb of God might be revealed and lifted up and exalted in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dealing here with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've done two messages on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we covered the first five gifts. We've already dealt with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gifts of healings, and the workings of miracles. We've dealt with those five gifts, but I want to come to the next four gifts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes this doesn't always work out as I plan or intend, but I'm happy to go as the Spirit leads me. But I want to give to you the next four gifts. You know why? We're not to be ignorant. You're not to be ignorant saying, oh, well, I don't know about it. You are to know in this church. I expect you to know. So does God expect you to know. But not only that, you are to seek after these supernatural gifts. You're to pray for them. You're to burn with zeal for them. You're actually to covet these. What does it say in chapter 14, verse 12? Even so, for as much as ye are zealous Are you burned with a fire for spiritual gifts? Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And then down to verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Anybody who operates in the Spirit or comes in, the Spirit told me, or I had a dream, or I had a vision. If anybody walks in this door, if anybody speaks to you like that, and you begin to question them or test those gifts, and immediately they say, you can't test me, alarm bells ought to go off in your head. The Bible says if a man is a prophet or he is spiritual, then he is going to recognize that every commandment in this Bible about the gifts, about testing them, about discerning if they're real, about weighing them, a spiritual person is going to say, please scrutinize what I'm saying to you. Please test the gifts that I'm operating in. Here this morning, let me start in verse 10 with the gift of prophecy. It says in verse 10 that the Holy Spirit distributes or gives unto the local church prophecy. The gift of prophecy. It's one of the 9 supernatural gifts of the Spirit that he puts in the local church. It's to operate when we come together. When we are together in the same place at the same time doing the same things gathered under the person of Christ. It is actually there that this gift is to operate. We should be praying for it to operate in our meetings. We should be coveting, saying, Lord, I covet this gift of prophecy. If you're merely saying, well, I hope it operates sometime, it never will. Saints, you need to seek after these gifts. We need to be utterly dissatisfied until prophecy operates fluently in our midst. Now notice it's a gift of prophecy. It is not the ministry of a prophet. Don't confuse the ministry of a prophet with the gift of prophecy. It's not the same. What is a prophet? A prophet is one of the 5 ministries that Christ gives to the church. What is prophecy? It is one of the 9 gifts the Holy Spirit gives to the church. They are different. What does a prophet do? He can foretell the future. He can prophesy about things that are about to happen. He is in leadership in the local church. That is what a prophet is. Or a prophet may travel from church to church or nation to nation to give a thus saith the Lord. That is a prophet. But this prophecy is not the same as a prophet. It is radically different. And notice this. This will shock you. And most Christians don't understand this. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is not predictive. Do you hear that? The word of wisdom is predictive. It tells you what to do. The word of knowledge can say what is just about to happen. But the actual gift of prophecy does not make any prediction. There is no thus saith the Lord, or I'm going to do this. There is no prediction in it. And if we don't understand that, we're going to get very confused about this gift. Now notice what the word prophecy means here. What does it mean in the Greek? It means to bubble up. Now listen to this. This is what it actually does. You know, in the Bible it says, when the Holy Spirit fills you, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. That happened to me when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. There, I could feel it. I could sense it. There was a river flowed out of my innermost being, like Jesus said 2,000 years ago. Now notice the word prophecy is self-descriptive. How do you know you're getting a prophecy? How do you know what a prophecy is? Listen to what it means. To bubble up, to pour forth, to be overflowing. And an exhortation by the Spirit of God. This is what a prophecy is. You actually begin to bubble up. You begin to pour forth. You get a message from the Holy Spirit to give out in the local church. But notice it's restricted. It's a public, audible, spoken message for the church to edify the church, to build up and encourage the church. But it is not predictive. Okay? It is an exhortation of the Spirit through a member of the body. But it is restrictive. And the Holy Spirit, do you know the Holy Spirit wrote this book? Do you know that? So the gifts of the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Bible. The same Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible operates the gifts. And if they don't tally, reject the gift, okay? Reject the voice, reject the manifestation. If a prophet stands here, stands up and prophesies what's not in the Bible, I'm going to say, sir, sit down. I'll rebuke him publicly and say, this is not of God. He could have a mega ministry, a church of 10,000. I'll say, sir, please keep your mouth shut. You're not welcome to speak if that's what you're saying. You are contradicting what the Holy Spirit has given us in the Bible. So never be intimidated. The gift of prophecy is restricted. So what is the gift of prophecy? How do we recognize it? Look with me at chapter 14 and verse 3. It says, but he that prophesieth. And please remember, this isn't for the leader or the preacher. This is for members of the body. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men. And notice this, there's three things that mark prophecy, that define it, that restrict it. Notice what they are. They speak unto men to edification. So real prophecy actually edifies you. It builds up the church. It's not going to divide the church. It's not going to cause confusion. It's going to build up the local church. So if someone here begins to prophesy, it's going to edify us. It's going to build us up. It doesn't predict the future. It's a building up of our actual spirit. Secondly, exhortation. That means encouragement. It's not going to discourage you. It is going to encourage you. Thirdly is comfort. Imagine coming into a meeting, you're brokenhearted. Imagine coming in, you're discouraged. Your heart is low. You're despondent. You feel like giving up. A gift of prophecy can comfort your heart. Just like with her sister, losing her sister straight after losing her brother. Do you know when the gift of prophecy is in operation, it can come forth and it could comfort our sister in the middle of the meeting. That's what real prophecy does. When you have a gift of prophecy, you begin to feel that bubbling up. There is an overflowing. You go, man, I have to do something. I have to say something. And you bring forth an exhortation. You're exhorting. You're encouraging. You're saying, come on, brother. Come on, sister. Let us worship the Lord. There is an exhortation or a prophecy from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, unto the church. It's not preaching or teaching. You know, in some denominations, churches will say, oh, yes, we prophesy when we preach. That isn't prophecy. Yeah. Or when I stand and teach the word, that is not prophecy. I'm not prophesying to you now. I'm teaching you. I'm actually preaching to you what the word of God says. That is not prophecy. It's not the gift of prophecy. The gift is for the body. This gift is not pre-planned. You don't sit down and have your notes. I've got my notes this morning. You know why? Just to keep me on track. Make sure I say all. You know, I've got an awful lot to say when I come to preach. The notes isn't to give me something to say. The notes is to confine me to an hour. You understand me. Some people need notes. I used to preach off a little bit of paper like that with four words on it for years, 7, 8 years. But I went, man, when you preach an hour and a half, I need to confine myself. And this notes makes me say clearly what I need to say. Okay? So I have to labor over the Word of God. I study all week long. I am laboring hard. You don't do that with prophecy. The Holy Spirit suddenly shines forth in the church. You don't pre-plan it. You don't study for it. Though you better know the Word of God when you prophesy. It is a gift that shines forth in the midst of the church that actually exhorts us. Notice with me in chapter 14 verse 1 what it says. It says, follow after charity. That's love. We as the church are to follow or pursue or chase after love. In all that we do in the church, in our gifts, in our ministries, we are to pursue. Do you know you could prophesy and not do it in love? Do you know you could evangelize and not do it in love? You know I could teach you and not do it in love. So the Bible says, and whatever you do in the church, pursue after love. Because you may not have it. It shows you're going to have to go after love to get it. You could be here prophesying and you have no love in you. That's why you're to pursue after charity. Notice as well it says in chapter 14, 1, and desire spiritual gifts. Remember what that word means. It means to burn with zeal. It means to have a fire. To have zelo, or jealousy, or zeal over these gifts. But notice this, it says, but rather that ye prophesied. Yes, have a zeal for the gifts, but rather that ye prophesied. What does the word rather there mean? It means to seek after in a greater degree. We want all the gifts, don't we? But we want prophecy in a greater degree. The apostle, by the Holy Spirit, is teaching them, seek for all of the gifts, but especially prophecy. Since you hear me here in this gathering, above any gift, seek after prophecy. You're burning with fire for tongues and for healings and miracles and faith. But rather, more importantly, above all else, actually seek after this gift of prophecy. It also says in chapter 14, 5, I would that ye all speak with tongues. Some churches say, I would rather you didn't speak in tongues. Well, that isn't what my Bible says. It says, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. So notice the second time here, he's saying, I want you all to speak in tongues. And can I say that? If you do not speak in tongues in this meeting this morning, I desire that you speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Rather that you prophesy. So why? Why would he say, rather prophesy than speak in tongues? Why? Why? It's good to ask why. Do you know, he goes on to say here in verse 5, he says, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues. Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues. The word greater there. You know, Shona is trained to be a teacher. You've got to teach things. I tell you, she'll be taught how to teach. You need to open things up. And in the church, we ought to be taught. We need to learn how to learn the word of God. It actually says, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues. The word greater, what does it actually mean? It means broader or more useful. So notice, we want all the things. Don't say, okay, I want prophecy, the tongues don't matter. Don't say that. Don't say that. You want the tongues. You need the tongues. But prophecy is broader. It is greater. It accomplishes more. Do you know why? Because when you speak in tongues, nobody understands what you're saying. But when you prophesy, you're going to encourage your brother. You're going to exhort your sister. Everybody understands. I can say amen. Someone's prophesying, I go amen. You know what? When you speak in tongues, I don't know what you're saying. So prophecy is a broader gift, and you're to rather seek after it than even speaking in tongues. Look at chapter 14, 24. It says, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, a sinner, an unbeliever, someone who's not saved, they come into our meeting, and somebody is prophesying, or someone who is unlearned. Who's the unlearned one? We have us who are operating in the gifts, us who are filled with the Spirit, and we have a sinner coming in. But we also have someone who's unlearned. Who's that? Because it speaks about it in chapter 14. The unlearned person is someone who is untaught. They're born again. They love Jesus Christ. They love the Word of God. They're living right, but they're untaught. Have you ever met anyone like that in the church? They're untaught. I don't believe in tongues. I don't believe tongues are for today. Well, you're untaught. You don't know your Bible. And what Paul writes is you can have these two kinds of people. You can have a sinner come in or someone untaught. And if we're all speaking in tongues and these two kinds of people come in, do you know what they say? You're all mad. if you're all praying in tongues and there's no English, they'll say you're all mad. Man, it's a foreign church. I've come into some Eastern Europe, European church. Is there no Irish church around here where they speak English? They'd walk out again. But notice the Bible doesn't say don't speak in tongues in the public gathering. It just says if that's all we do, if our whole meeting is filled with tongues, if all you ever do is speak in tongues, they'll actually walk out going mad. They're mad. Who'll say that? The sinner will say that, and the untaught person. Notice if you're taught, you won't say that. If you know what the Bible says, and everyone's praying in tongues, you go, man, we need a bit of balance here. But you won't say they're mad. You go, I know what's happening. I know it's edifying. I know it's wonderful. But we need more than that. We actually need more. And it says if either of these people come in, notice what it says, and we're prophesying. Someone is prophesying and a untaught person comes in. An untaught Christian or a sinner. Listen to what happens. It says he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. Notice it's not predictive. Yet it's convincing their hearts. It's judging their hearts. It's discerning their hearts. It's opening up their hearts. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and he will report that God is in you of a truth. Now notice this. Prophecy is not predictive, but it reveals the heart. It actually begins to judge your heart or expose something about your heart. Where prophecy operates, it doesn't predict the future, but it reveals your heart. You say, I don't understand that. Then let me give you an example of my granny. You know the testimony of my grandfather, don't you? How he came into that meeting to fight the preacher, got born again. And my granny, she was now scared. My grandfather's saved. My mother's saved. Everybody's getting saved. And all that's left is my grandmother. And she goes, where? She goes, they're all going crazy. Going to all night prayer meetings. Talking and talk in tongues. They're getting healed in their body. What am I going to do? She wouldn't go to the meetings. She wouldn't attend their missions. She was scared too. She goes, man, my husband isn't the same man anymore. He has changed. But you know what she done one week? A few months after he had got saved, she actually went out to the shops, and as you ladies do, she bought herself a new outfit, a new set of clothes. And she was there going, now where am I going to wear this? There's no trip planned. There's no special event. There's no wedding coming. And she thought, I've got a new dress here, but where can I wear it? And there was nowhere to go. And it was a Saturday. Says, I'll go Sunday morning to the church to show off my nice dress. You know, I've got a nice dress. I want somewhere where I can go and wear it and look beautiful beside my husband. So she decided for the first time not seeking Christ. She wants to show off her nice dress. That's all she's concerned about. She walked into the meeting, and as they worshiped like us, someone gave a prophecy and began to prophesy in that actual meeting. And do you know what they said in the middle of it? That prophecy said, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Do you know what happened to my grandmother? She's there with her nice dress on. Nobody knows what she's thinking. But a stranger in that meeting begins to say, God is looking at your heart. He doesn't care what's on the outside. He is looking at your heart. He knows your heart. And you know what? She was convicted of sin for the very first time in her life. And she didn't get free of that until the night that she got born again. And you see, God used a prophecy to open up and reveal the secrets of her heart. It wasn't telling her what she was going to do. Do you know, in that same church, let me tell you this powerful thing that happened. It wasn't a prophecy, but it was given through. It was a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. My auntie had disappeared. I believe it was for 2 years. Her parents, my grandparents, didn't know where she was all through that time. Then on the Saturday, a news report come up that a lady fitting her description had been found dead in the sea. And my granny got very scared. went, that's my daughter. The description fitted her. She went in, she was terribly afraid. She went to bed that night in tears. Going, I haven't seen her in this time. It must be her. It has to be her. You know how you ladies get at times, all anxious and worried. And she went into the church service the next Sunday morning. And somebody stood up and started to prophesy. See, it can be the means of bringing another gift. And said, this time tomorrow, the thing that thou fearest, they'll know that it has not come to pass. And within 24 hours, that daughter walked in through the door, threw her arms around her mummy and her daddy. But you know, that word on that morning comforted her heart. She was in a terrible condition. Hadn't heard in 2 years. And yet the word of the Lord reveals, this time tomorrow, don't you worry. Settle your nerves. Trust in me. Since these gifts of the Holy Spirit are very practical, very real, it changed the life of my grandmother. That's why I believe in the gift of prophecy and all of these divine gifts. They're given by God for the actual church. It says in chapter 14:39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. You're to covet, you're to burn to prophesy, you're to desire for this gift in this church. It can change lives, it can encourage us all. In Acts chapter 21:9, it says concerning Philip the evangelist, that he had four daughters who were virgins who did prophesy. They weren't prophetesses. They weren't predicting the future, but they were prophesying. They were encouraging the local church. Imagine having four daughters. They're all virgins. Notice how that goes side by side with supernatural gifts. Notice they kept themselves. They walked pure. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit were operating. We live in a church generation that does not have purity, but wants all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is confusion. And I know in our past lives, we've all sinned, we've all messed up. Very few virgins in today's church, I can assure you. And that's why we need to raise up a church and a young generation. They're virgins and they'll operate in these gifts. I do believe in keeping your virginity. And we want to see these genuine gifts of the Holy Spirit in a very real way. You see, the gift of prophecy is vital. There was once a few years ago, Candace walked into a meeting in the north. And as she was in the worship, the Spirit of God came on her. And she was compelled. She felt that bubbling up. She felt overflowing. And she didn't want to prophesy in the meeting. She didn't want to be noticed in the meeting. But it actually bubbled forth and she broke forth into a prophecy in that gathering, a clear message for that church. She wasn't there the week before, hasn't been back since, I think. But in that meeting, the preacher gets up and he says, mentions three times, our sister prophesied everything I'm going to preach this morning. She knew nothing of what he was going to preach. It was a confirmation. You know, that preacher must have went, man, I'm encouraged. Man, I'm helped by this. This is the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit has confirmed it and said, what you're preaching this morning, this people need to hear this morning. These gifts are very real. But let's go further to verse 10. And it says, to another the discerning of spirits. He gives prophecy to one person. But to another person he gives the discerning of spirits. It's not discernment. You should all have discernment. You need to grow in discernment. If as you live as a Christian, your discernment, your ability to judge things, test things, know if something is of God or not, that is discernment. But it's not the gift of discernment. Notice that. God doesn't give you a gift and say, from now on, you'll be able to discern everything. He doesn't do that. This is a gift that comes at a certain point for a certain event at a certain time. You don't have this gift before and you don't have it after. It shines forth and you discern a spirit. That's what it actually is. Notice as well, it's not the gift of fault finding. And it's not the gift of criticism. Nobody needs a gift for that. Believe me, I've met many critics. They're always criticizing. They come into your house, you could have cleaned it from top to bottom, and they'll notice the one cobweb that you missed Only one cobweb. And that's all they see in your entire home. And you know what? You don't need a gift to criticize. Man, they should do this. They should do that. That's not the gift of discernment. Or the gift of discerning of spirits. Oh, I can tell. Look at that wrong in their life. And look at this wrong in their life. Sure, it doesn't take any discernment for that. That doesn't take a gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift is for what you cannot discern. And it's a supernatural discernment to be able to discern things that you could never discern with your eyes or your ears or with your intellect. That's what it actually is. The word discerning means to separate, discriminate, to judge. You know, the Bible does say we're to judge. Yeah. Everyone says, Jesus said, don't judge. Yes, and he also said, judge righteous judgment. I'm judging you. I will judge you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I will judge everyone. And you know what? You can judge my preaching. You can judge me today. You can judge how I treat my wife. I hope you do. Because I tell you what, I endeavor to treat her like a princess and to love her with all of my heart. And you ought to be judging me and say, well, man, what does the Bible say? I hope you do judge me. But this gift of discerning of spirits, it is a separate and an immediate ability in a situation where you can make a difference and you can see through things. It's the ability to accurately discern the spirit that is operating behind something. Notice it's the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. Plural. It's got an S. Not one spirit. Many different types of spirit. Now, there's three kinds of spirits spoken about in the Bible. Angelic spirits, the Holy Spirit, and the human spirit. Three different kinds of spirit. And this is what this gift is. God gives that gift in the church so you can immediately see what is operating, what spirit is operating. Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it an angelic being? Is it the human spirit? What is it? This gift actually reveals it. Notice with me that there is angelic spirits. You can have good and bad spirits. You have demonic spirits, which are fallen angels. They used to be angels. So you have a demonic evil spirit, a fallen angel, an ambassador of Lucifer. He is actually a demon spirit. And this gift actually means you could discern the devil working, or you could discern a fallen angel or a demon. It's that ability. But notice as well, you can discern good angels. You can discern elect angels. It is the discerner spirit. If anyone ever sees a true, genuine angel sent from God, and I don't mean pizza, and I don't mean that you ought to be getting some sleep and you didn't have enough sleep. I mean if a true angel comes to you physically and visibly, that is the discerning of spirit. It has to be. It's not natural. You can't see of your own self. But there's not only discerning of spirits of angelic beings. There's the discern of the Holy Spirit. You have to discern, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Is it the Holy Spirit or is it not? Is it the real Holy Spirit? It would be terrible if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you don't know. Or trying to grab your attention and you don't discern it. It would be terrible if the Holy Spirit sent a revival and we say, I don't believe the revival is real. That would be a terrible thing. But there's also the human spirit, to discern the actual human spirit. It's the discerning of a person's heart, his motive. You're not to judge anybody's motive. You have no right to judge my motive. I never judge a person's motive. Never. I judge their words. I judge their actions. I judge many things that they do or their words. But I don't judge the motive of their heart. But this gift, it judges the motive of the heart. It exposes or reveals the motive, what is in someone's heart. Only a supernatural gift can reveal that. It reveals the purpose in a human heart, the intention, the plans. And so we see that a human spirit is the hidden part of a person that you can't see. It's the inward man. It's the hidden part of a person. It is what the person really is. With this gift, you see right past the flesh, the words, everything outward and you see into their heart and you see their motive, that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. I do believe this gift is one of the most practical of gifts, and it protects the Church of Jesus Christ. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we read about Elisha, the prophet, actually taking refuge in the city of Dothan in Israel. The Syrian army come up against them and literally surrounded them round about. Do you know why? The king of the Syrians, he said, who is revealing the secrets of our army? Because every time we make a plan, the plan gets revealed to Israel. Who is doing this? Is there a spy in the midst? And they had to tell the king, no king, there's no spy. None of us are going sharing the information. It's Elisha the prophet. Everything you speak in secret, he knows it. And he goes and shares it with the general. And that's why you're being defeated. And the general said, we need to kill that man, Elisha. Too spiritual, too much of a man of God. He knows our secrets. We've got to destroy him. It's not the general, it's not the army. We need that prophet of God. We need to stop him. Well, they come up to the city, surrounded the city. And Elisha has a young servant with him. And the servant actually got scared. He began to tremble. And all of these armies and the chariots and the swords and the spears, and they're all around. There's no escape. And the servant is literally there trembling. And the older prophet stand there just looking at it. Must be looking going, man, he's got faith. And he's there trembling going, Master, what are we going to do? Listen to what Elisha says. He answered him, fear not, young man. Easy for you to say. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Man, what faith? No, it's not faith. It's the discerning of spirits. Listen. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and notice what he saw. Notice he couldn't see it a second before, but suddenly he sees, and it took God to open his eyes. And he says, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Not natural, this is angels. This is angelic messengers sent forth to minister on behalf of them. And they're all in around Elisha the prophet. Notice with this gift of discerning spirits, the young man stopped trembling. He wasn't scared anymore. He couldn't see what the old prophet saw. You see, all he could see is all of the enemies. Everything is against us. We're gonna die. I can just see it now. My head rolling off my body. We are finished. No, you need the gift of discerning spirits, because you know what? Right around us, even in this room, there are chariots of fire. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. You know what the Bible says? The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. Literally. I wouldn't want to drive from here to Dublin in a car without the angel of the Lord. Do you know, I want to make sure before I get in that car, I fear him. You know why? If you think you have a guardian angel, well, I can sin, but my guardian angel will get me through it all. You'll end up in hell. That's where you'll end up. I tell you, drive over 100 km an hour. Your guardian angel, it ain't going to break that speed limit, you know. You're playing games. You're stepping out of the law of the land. Go, well, let the Lord protect me. Do you honestly think God operates like that? He doesn't operate like that. I'm telling you about the discerning of spirits. Do you remember in Acts chapter 5, Peter with Ananias and Sapphira, two members of that church? But they're lying to the apostle. They're lying to everybody. They sold land for a great price and they said, hey, everybody, we are giving it to the church, but they're lying. Peter confronts them. He didn't know this naturally. It was a supernatural gift. And he goes down and asks and he says, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Notice he's talking about his heart motive, not his actions, his heart. Why has Satan filled your heart? How did he know that? How did he actually know that it was Satan filling his heart to tell a lie? It wasn't the human spirit. Neither was it the Holy Spirit. It's the devil has actually moved you to lie. Be very careful about sin. Because you better ask who is behind that sin and who is trying to destroy your life. You know who tempts you? The devil. And why does the devil tempt you and offer you things and say, why not do this? You know why? He's trying to draw you into sin to destroy you. To get you away from God. You need to be very careful. And here with this couple, they lied. Peter also said, why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? This was the gift of discerning of spirits. He said, I can see your heart. I can see what spirit is operating behind you. I can see what all happened. It's the gift of discerning of spirits. And you know what? Mr. and Mrs. dropped down dead in the church service and they went out and they buried them. What sort of effect do you think that had on the church? It says in the next verse, great fear came upon all the church. I think it would. And upon as many as heard these things. So everybody hears about it, they're scared. It says in verse 13, and of the rest there's no man joined himself to them. What does that mean? People were scared to join that church. Do you know why? They say God judges sin in that church. And I tell you, where you get a real church, there's certain people be scared to join it. You know why? Because God deals with the heart of men. So in Jerusalem, it said there were many who were scared. Once that happened, they said, I'm not going to that church. I don't want to belong to that church. But it also says in verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord. So they lost all the hypocrites, all the game players, all the liars, all the deceivers. Do you know lying is a sin? They'll send you to hell. Lying, God's against lying. If you're a liar, you're in big trouble. There's some people, you meet them, that, and do you know, with a liar, they forget what they said to you last time. That's what, the liar always gets themselves in trouble. Well, I thought you said this last time. Oh, I did. Tell another lie to cover that lie, to cover the previous 100. You get yourself in trouble. But this was the discerning of spirit. Or what about Acts chapter 8, when Simon the sorcerer actually came into the church? Remember in Samaria, Philip the evangelist goes down there, stands up in the high street, and he begins to preach, and God is healing the sick, and thousands of them get born again. They actually are listening, they're seeing the miracles, and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are putting faith in him. They're actually putting faith in him. And it says there that amongst them was one called Simon the sorcerer. He was a witch. He was a sorcerer. He actually dabbled in the dark arts of occultism. And he had great power in that community. You know, he had power. They said, he can heal you. He's got power. He can do things that aren't natural in that community. Simon the sorcerer. But when he heard the preaching, do you know what it says? He believed what was preached. And he got baptized in water. And every time you see him, he's by the shoulder of Peter. Wherever you saw Peter, here is this sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer. He's there going, he's on the front row of every sermon. He's there listening with eyes wide open. He's there saying amen. He's there by the shoulder of Peter. They're walking around the village or the town. There's Simon beside him saying, I'm with you, brother. I believe in what you're preaching. There he is with Philip the evangelist. But all of a sudden Peter and John come down. They're apostles. They come down from Jerusalem. And they come down and start praying for people. And people are receiving the Holy Ghost. You could see it. And you could hear it. That every time hands were laid on, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what Simon the sorcerer said? He says, I want this ability. Man, this is power. I never had this sort of power. So he goes to John and Peter and he says, I would like to purchase this from you. I want to be able to do this. What can I give you that I can have this power? Listen to what Peter says to him. Thy money perish with thee. Now, I don't like other versions of the Bible. You know that, don't you? I like my King James, my authorized. But I do like another version of this translation. You know what it says? To hell with you and your money. I like that. And this is what he said. Here's a man trying to buy the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want to buy the Holy Ghost. And he says, to hell with you and your money, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And listen next, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. See, he's looking into his heart now. And he says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray to God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Notice the next. For I perceive. What does perceive mean? It means to judge, to discern. I see, I can look into your soul, and I can discern that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Notice he didn't pray for him. Will you pray for me? He didn't pray. He says, you repent.
Right.
Be careful who you pray for.
Right.
Will you pray for me? Do you want to leave your sin? Not really. I'm not going to pray for you.
Yes.
You want to live holy before God? Not really. I'm not going to pray for you.
Right.
You pray and repent of your own sin. You know, some people don't leave their sin and wonder why they have problems. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why God hasn't saved you. If you're not willing to go, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I want you no matter what. I tell you, I'm burning my bridges. I'm going to follow you. They don't do that. And they wonder, well, Lord, save me and I'll burn my bridges. It won't work. It actually won't happen like that. You see, Paul went down to Philippi. And let me just close. I'm sorry, we're going to a fourth message on this. But listen to me. This is the gift of discerning of spirits. Paul went down to Philippi. Remember, Philippi was the smallest church in the book of Acts, or in the New Testament. Paul went down there with his team of preachers. And he went out into the streets and began to preach and tell people about the Lord. I hope you realize that street preaching is biblical.
Amen.
That street evangelism is biblical. See, if any Christian tries to tell you, that's not for today, then you don't know your Bible.
Amen.
It's been for every century, 2,000 years, and all of a sudden in our day, we don't believe in street preaching anymore. I do, brother.
Amen.
Do you, brother? I do. I believe in street preaching. You see, Paul, like Philip the evangelist, went out in the streets. And Paul went out and he's on the streets evangelizing. And it says this little lady comes down the street. Listen to what she says. And you tell me what she is and what spirit is operating. And as she hears him preach and sees him standing there, do you know what she begins to do? She is moved within her heart. And she says, behold the servants of the Most High God, for they revealed to us the way of salvation. And you know what she does? All through that day she's fallen. Every time he moved about and preached on a different street corner, this little lady turns up and says, behold the servant of God, he is revealing the way of salvation. And this goes on for a few days. It actually says there in Acts 16:18, and this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, notice that. Notice what she's saying is right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, she must be of God. She must be a holy ruler. She must be filled with the Spirit of God. She must really love Jesus Christ. She can discern I'm a preacher and that this is the way of salvation. Man, the Holy Ghost is working on her. For days she's following him around. And all of a sudden he goes, I'm grieved. Can't put my finger on it. Notice he doesn't do anything. He doesn't invite her to preach with her.
Right.
With him. Do you notice that? Don't say, man, here, come stand with us in the open air. You don't know who she is or what spirit is operating. You hear me? You don't have a clue. Oh, but she believes this. Does she? And for many days this goes on. He's grieved in heart. He's going, I'm grieved. There's something not right here. There is actually something not right. And he turned suddenly and he said to the Spirit, notice it's a discerning of spirits. He said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. It was a spirit of divination. She could tell your fortune. She could tell you what's going to happen next week. She could tell you what's been going on at work all week. She can tell you whether you're going to have a boy or a girl. She is operating in another spirit. But you know what? As soon as he commanded the spirit to go, she lost all of her powers. She couldn't tell fortunes anymore. She couldn't do what she wants to done. And you know what? All the time she's blessing them. She's not cursing them. Do you know in the New Testament, the demons, when you see them, they're never attacking the preachers. The Pharisees attack the preachers. The hypocrites attack the preachers. The so-called Christians attack the preacher. But you know what? The demons actually say, I know who you are. I know who you are. Do you know what? My granddad's many years ago, there was a man who had a demon. And they're all praying and he fell down on the ground. Fell down on the ground and began to manifest a real demon. A real demon. And there was a man there who actually was a hypocrite. A game player. A liar, deceiver. But he said, I know the Lord. And he began to try and speak to this manifestation. And the Spirit spoke to him and said, Paul I know and Jesus I know. Who are you? Who are you? I don't know you. And my granddad was there, cast the demon out of him. And a bit later my granddad spoke to him and said, boy, you're in trouble. He says, why? He says, not even the demons know you, never mind God. Called them to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the gift of discerning of spirits. It is a real gift that's needed in this hour in a very real way. Do you know many years ago, when I was 22, a couple of years ago, when I was 22 years old, and we were starting a new church in Scotland, in the town of Hawick. We were all young people, we were evangelizing on the streets. It was a new church. And this night, on Wednesday night, I was standing here as far as from the door. And I'm standing there praying, waiting on the meeting to start. And everybody is gathering. And as I looked out the door, a couple arrived at the door in their 50s. And they stood outside the door through the glass. They were dressed well. They were a mature couple. They had big Bibles under their arm. They looked like they were very godly people. And as I stood there, all of a sudden, the cover was, I'd never met them before, never seen their faces before. But all of a sudden, as I'm standing there praying, God pulls off the cover and I saw their heart. I saw the motive of their heart. And as I looked into their heart, I could see they were coming to take over that church because they've been told it's just young guys who don't know what they're doing, trying to start this church and there's no leader. And we're coming, we've got all of this experience and maturity and we've got all of this knowledge in our big Bible and we will come in and take over that church. And I was standing there shocked. Because the Lord had showed me their motives, their intentions, the spirit they were coming in. And here they come and I went, what do I do? And as I'm not the leader, we're just evangelizing young people. But you know what I began to do was pray. I began to pray and to seek the Lord. And you know what? Within 2 months, it actually came to my ears. They had confessed the motive of their heart to somebody else. And in one night, they left. Never come back to another meeting. I prayed them out, saints. I've had this experience in evangelism. We're speaking to someone, all of a sudden, it's like their heart, their motive, everything about them opens up before me. What is that? It's a discerning of spirits. And saints, it's given to the church to protect this church in the year ahead. Someone can come in there looking very well. Can I give a testimony as we close here of a year and 4 months ago? Of someone who walked in this door. This wasn't the gift of discerning of spirits. This was basic discernment. He walked in this door. All he had was Christ on his lips, a big Bible, and a lot of talk about Jesus. As he came in, and all I do is listen. For 1 hour, I listen to that man here in this building. I don't say a word hardly. He goes around talking to people, first time ever there. He leaves by the door, and I talked to Paul and Soph, and I thought I need to give them a warning. I said, guys, just be careful of that man. And I said a couple of things. Do you know what? It was about 5 months later, sitting at our dinner table in our house, and I've got 20 pages of emails from him, and I print out for Paul and Soph and said, you read it word to word. Sometimes they almost laughed. Sometimes they cried as they read it. They couldn't believe it. And Sue stops and says, do you realize he's written in these emails what you warned us about 5 months ago? It came to pass. That wasn't the gift of discernment of spirits. That was basic discernment. You meet someone, you see an awful lot of things. That isn't a gift. Saints, I've learned that through all that I've gone through for the protection of this church. I'm not a fool. I'm not stupid. But you know what? This man can get deceived tomorrow by a deceiver or a false spirit. And that's why I need the gift. And you know what? God can reveal tomorrow. The greatest deceiver could walk through that door and I could be saying, this is a real brother who loves Jesus. And the Holy Spirit can reveal their motive, their agenda, their heart, their attitude. And like Ananias and Sapphira, pull the cover off and say, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit back. These gifts aren't to make you laugh. These gifts are to edify you and make you more like the person of Christ. Please stand with me. Jesus, thank you, my Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, will you reveal yourself in holiness? My God, I do pray for these mighty gifts of the Holy Spirit. And even here this morning, my God, especially for this discerning of spirits. My God, we're in a wicked city, an evil city. And there's so much confusion, oh God. And we're asking for these gifts of your Holy Spirit. My God, authority, spiritual authority that comes from your throne to discern, to rightly handle, that this church might be protected in the name of Jesus. We bless you, we adore you, we magnify you, Lord Jesus, we worship you, our God. Oh, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you, oh God. Oh, we bless you, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah! Let's just worship the Lord here. Do you know if you need the Lord, the Holy Spirit can meet with you in a very real way. Since I don't want to waste my life, I want the real. I want the absolute real. And I tell you, when I know what's real, I'll sacrifice everything in this world for it. The Bible says, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is here to save your soul. He's here to deliver you. See this Bible. Everything from a gift of the Holy Spirit through the prophecies given 2,600 years ago. Hear me as we close. On Wednesday night we'll deal with that. Do you realize, why would I teach in Jerusalem and Israel and Bible prophecy? Do you know why? Because I know there's a God who 2,600 years ago predicted what nations in the Middle East would align against Israel. He's my God, I know him. I walk with him every day. I love him. He is actually a revealer of secrets, not only of world events, but the very secrets of your heart. And you know what? He never makes a fool of you. Don't think just because you're in sin or that you sin or you fail, God's going to expose your sin. He's a gentleman. God never embarrasses or tries to make you ashamed. But I'll tell you what, if something's destroying the church, he'll reveal it. He will. But he doesn't go around exposing sin. Who here has ever sinned and the Holy Spirit didn't embarrass you? Isn't that right? There's not. Do you know, we've sinned. God isn't here to embarrass you. We're talking about the protection of those who come, not struggling with sin or fighting with sin, but they come to destroy and deceive and come as wolves. That's who God exposes. Never think he's here to embarrass you. Or to make you laugh and stuff. He isn't. What he does is speak to your heart. He says, I know. I'll save you. I'm warning you of sins that could destroy you. I love you too much to stay quiet in the preaching. When I was